The Spinoff Podcast Network. Ready to rediscover the joys of cycling? With over 300 kilometres of cycle paths across Tāmaki Makaurau, jumping on your bike and going for a ride is such a fun way to discover the city from a different perspective. Cycling is getting more and more popular across Auckland, so now's a great time to join the hype and give cycling a go. Head to at.govt/cycling to find your nearest cycleway today. Skinny are helping you show how smart you are with the 1Q quiz, an all-new, super challenging and super quick daily quiz built by The Spinoff. Every Monday, Skinny are giving you the chance to prove you're smart with the Skinny Extra Credit question. Get it right, and you'll get the chance to score yourself some Skinny Extra mobile credit so you can text, call, or even video call your group chat and gloat about how big your brain is. T's and C's apply.
My haere mai ki dietary requirements, the Spinoff's food podcast. Each month, we get together to talk about the cultural, social, and political role of food in Aotearoa with some of the buzziest people in the local scene. I'm your host, Simon Day. Unfortunately, this week, we're not joined by either Alice, the Spinoff's food editor, or Hospo boss Sophie, who's actually in the middle of buying a home at auction, and Alice is dealing with a major Spinoff crisis. Instead, we've got Stuart Salmonland.
Yeah, I'll take that name. That's fine. It's a food podcast, so I'll embrace the mispronunciation.
Stuart is our in-house. it's a joke on an automatic transcribing software. That's how they transcribed Stuart's.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And he will for now forever be known as that. But here's our in-house sandwich expert, which is the topic for today. But before we get there, we wouldn't be here without Freedom Farms, who is the sponsor of all the Spinoff's food coverage and the podcast. They believe that everyone who eats meat has a responsibility to know how the animal has been farmed, and their pork, bacon, and free-range eggs are fucking delicious, so please buy all their goods. We're talking sandwiches, the most humble and universal of foods. You know, from my grandma's curried egg sandwich to Kolkata's cutty chicken roll, the shawarma, the croque monsieur, the banh mi, you know, every culture I can think of has realized that wrapping protein in bread is a really good idea.
That was beautiful.
Just makes it better. there's a really fun origin myth of the sandwich. In 1762, John Montagu, the fourth Earl of Sandwich, had developed a little bit of a gambling problem. And during one particularly long stint at the card table, he requested that the cook bring him something that he could eat in his seat without making a mess. And the chef returned with meat wrapped in bread, and the sandwich was born. Montagu enjoyed it so much that he ate it constantly and became known for it in London society circles, sort of caught on and loved it too, and gifted that foodstuff the Earl's name. It's a very colonized version of a way of eating food that people have been doing for a very long time, but it's quite fun. And we feel very lucky today to be joined with two of my favorite sandwich makers, Alethea Elder from Hare and the Turtle. Thank you for being here.
Hello.
And Huri Neil from Hero Sandwiches in Eden Terrace. Welcome.
Hello. Hello, hello.
We've got a little bit of housekeeping before we get started. So you've both worked in hospo for a long time, equally interesting sort of backgrounds. What was it that drew you to the sandwich to base your empires around that?
The empire.
Leif, you can go first.
Okay, I don't think we have an empire because it's one store, but
people come constantly for your sandwiches. They love them.
We do.
Why the sandwich?
The sandwich because we wanted to eat sandwiches on our day off, and it was hard to find at the time.
Yeah. You're working at...
We were working at Best Ugly Bagels, and you don't always want to... But, like, love bagels, but they're a bit full on if you're just looking for a, you know, semi.
What is it about a semi then? Like, why were you looking for a sandwich on, why, you know, you get one day off a week, why were you hunting that type of food?
Like, I mean, we would spend the whole day eating, mostly, but I don't know, sandwich is just comforting. It's filling. It's generally cheaper than going to, like, you know, a cafe and you get an eggs benny, couple of coffees, splash out and get a juice, and then you're like $100, like, fucked. So, yeah, sandwiches. Yeah. You know, you can get a meal and a coffee for $20-ish.
It's the place to be. That's a sweet spot.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's also so delicious.
It is delicious.
What is your favourite sandwich on the menu? Do you, is that like choosing a favourite child?
I flick between the eggplant parm and the VB.
Stuart does the same?
Yeah. VB is the perfect either hungover Saturday morning or kind of a hearty breakfast. It can be both, which is what I love about it. But then the eggplant parm as well. It's a little bit more hefty, but it's always a good choice.
I'm a bologna guy.
Oh.
The bologna. But then I'll double dip with the daisy as well. Yeah, I'll go both. You need two. If you go here in Tittle, you need two.
Yeah, and you also always have to have fries as well.
I've never had the fries.
I think they're the best fries in Auckland.
Wow.
And I also love that they're served with tomato sauce, which doesn't happen very often anymore.
No, you get the aioli now.
You get both, and you can double dip.
Oh, but I just mean in general, you often just get aioli, but you don't get the ketchup, and you need
you need both.
Yeah.
To like
the sweetness,
yeah.
The nostalgia, which comes with a sandwich.
Mm.
So how did you end up in the hero story, and what was your journey to the sandwich?
I actually thought about this because I was like, I might get asked questions today, but I think it's fucking hard, to be honest. I think, like, fast food, like, I've been addicted to fast food since I was a little kid, and I think that the easiest option to have fast food at home was to make a sandwich, you know, like to have a burger, you just go with the toast. So I think that's kind of... That's my origin story.
That's why sandwiches, I think, are special to me. Is every afternoon tea when I was a teenager was my most important meal of the day. Sort of 4 o'clock, having come home from school, I would just take the night before's meal and put it inside a bun.
Yeah,
and it worked every time, no matter what it was.
Yeah. I'd always do that. I remember Dad's house. He only did Vogels, and it would always be leftovers with fresh red onion, best foods, and toasted Vogels. Like, I'd have that. I've probably had that over like 10,000 times, like literally. That's like, that is my sandwich. That's my favorite sandwich.
So what does make a good sandwich?
I think that fast food point is pretty interesting because for me it's like, you know, traditionally, sure, if you wanted to spend $10, you go to Macca's or something. But now you can spend $10 and you can go to a local eatery and get something that is so much better, but it's basically the same price as fast food, and it's not going to take half an hour for it to come out of the kitchen. So I think in that sense, that's what I love about this sort of revival of sandwiches in Auckland.
You're up now.
I can't remember the question. I'm really sorry.
You're right. What
makes a good sandwich? I feel like there's a few things. Like, you have to have a good combo of the type of bread and what you're putting in there. Like, you can't just have something, I don't know, sloppy and then real chewy bread, because then you're just going to end up, like, it doesn't work. So you have to have a good texture ratio.
Yes. Oh, my God, I feel that.
Yeah. Nothing worse than bread that cuts the roof of your mouth.
Yeah, but, like, then there is a time where the chewy bread is right.
Yep.
You know? Like, if you're having a big-ass pastrami sandwich, you kind of want a little bit of chew with your bread. And then just quality ingredients. Good combos.
Well, it's a good combo because I like how you both have different approaches to the sandwich. I feel like, you know, the minimal, you know, the maximum of maybe 4 ingredients plus
components,
sauces.
Yeah.
Do you have a limit?
I reckon when you're trying to smash out something real fast,
great question.
If you have too many components, then you're fucked. But if you, like, you can put heaps of ingredients into a component, but if you're trying to, like, assemble 5 or 6 different things, you're just going to slow down everything. It should be like, you know?
Yeah.
Because you're working to order less. You've got a chance to prepare in advance, right, Hoodie?
Yes. Yeah.
And does that mean you can be a little bit more complicated with what goes into the sandwich?
I think I'm just quite complicated as is. I like, that's why I love Heron Turtle so much, because you guys just like have a real like refined, beautiful menu. Like you just do like really elegant, classic, timeless sandwiches where I'm super loose. I'm just making what I often like to like recreate meals that I've had in a sandwich, like the same flavors, because I think that's quite cool. But like, I don't know if necessarily my sandwich making like creates the best business. Like, I'm loose in general with everything, so I admire the Heron Turtle because it's such like, I can see like such a sound, awesome business, you know.
What's something you'd want to put into a sandwich then? You said like you like to recreate things. What's something that you...
I did like a beef Wellington, which was fucking fire. Cool. Like, not to blow my own horn, but it was really good. Like, hollowed out a sourdough and then filled it with the duck sow and the skirt
amazing.
And the onions. Yeah, it was actually a banger. I was stoked with that.
Was that hard work though as well? Hollowing out the loaf and...
No, you're just cutting off a segment of the lid and then ripping it out. It's pretty easy. But like, yeah.
Beef Wellington sandwich is genius.
Yeah, it was good actually. I was like, wow, that tasted sweet.
What are other crazy things that you've recreated as a sandwich?
Fuck. Oh, sure, I'm looking at Mark for some. There's been a few though. I feel like just classic flavors. Like, I think like a Caesar salad, for instance, is how we came up with the CBJ, which is like our chicken and bacon jam sandwich, which is probably our most popular. So I think, yeah, just using maybe classic pairings as opposed to classic dishes probably makes more sense. But yeah, that's where I find my inspo, I think, for new Sammies.
I gotta say, though, there is something really amazing about having a creative sandwich maker that isn't just doing, like, classic combos. You know what I mean? There needs to be someone that is pioneering out. Because... otherwise, all the flavors are the same no matter where you go. You know, like a lot of our sandwiches, like ham and cheese. Yeah, it's really yum. I'm proud of it. But at the same time, like someone needs to be, you know, doing things different. Otherwise, it's boring. So, yeah.
Oh, thank you. That means a lot from you. Getting emotional.
My idol.
I love that we've brought you two together today.
It's
raising each other up. It's beautiful. Because I do think that's another beautiful thing about the sandwich is it's inclusive. Like, it's one of the first things you learn to make as a young person when you're cooking food for yourself. But then at the same time, you can take it to pretty crazy places. Other than Prison Company, do you have... great sandwiches that you can remember from around New Zealand?
The chicken sandwich at the Fed is the best sandwich in the world.
It is.
I was about to say
that. Crispy skin.
It's the best.
It's fucking
Found
crazy.
A bit unoriginal, but that is.
It's like, it can't be beat. It's fucking perfect.
Yeah, the ratios.
And
are
the
so
chicken
perfect.
Skin in there, what the fuck?
Yeah. That is fire with that iceberg
and
in
then
there.
Just. Have some gravy on the side
because
it wasn't good enough.
You can ask them to toast it, and I only recently discovered this.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like their Reuben.
Is it better?
Yes, it is.
Is
well,
it
I mean,
yeah,
it's very buttery
it's
and intense.
Yeah, such a hard one.
Amazing.
That's also an interesting question that I'd like to put to sandwich makers. How do you feel about toasting a sandwich that has lettuce in it?
You toast the bun, and then you put the lettuce in.
100%.
Because otherwise you're lazy.
You can't wilt your lettuce and you can't heat your avocado.
Yeah, that's fine.
No hot avocado. Avocado on pizza.
Stupid ass pizza.
No one wants cooked lettuce. Yeah.
Well, nobody wants that shit.
Some people like cooked
lettuce. I recently read a recipe in the New York Times about iceberg soup.
Oh,
Wow, watery, I can imagine.
So you can cook a lettuce.
I also had grilled lettuce one time. It was really nice. But
that's
but not true. Soggy lettuce in a sandwich, no, I think. I think right. we can all agree on that.
Yeah.
Nah, not the one. Right. Unless it's like a reheated Big Mac in the morning, in which case it's just a new thing and it's fucking delicious.
So I discovered recently, and this is turning a burger into a sandwich, I put a burger, a Nando's burger that had sat in the fridge at the office for 3 days. I put it in the toasted sandwich maker, like a toaster pie one. So it like pressed it in the middle and it worked so well. And it's slow enough to allow it to heat properly through the middle again. And it really, really worked. So burger in the toasted sandwich maker 3 days later.
I reckon a burger's a sandwich.
This was I was just about to ask, you said it's not. It's getting a bit scientific, but surely
a burger's a sandwich.
And in the US, they would not. This wouldn't
they
even be a conversation,
a sandwich,
right?
Yeah. But does everyone feel that way? Do you think a burger's a sandwich?
I don't think I do. Well, I don't know. It's hard. Like, I've never thought of it. I've always had them separate.
Because I think of,
but they are.
I think of a taco almost as a sandwich, a shawarma as a sandwich.
Yeah.
Mm. There's different sandwiches from around the world.
Yeah.
I feel like it needs two things on either side pressing it together to be a sandwich.
To literally use the verb to be sandwiched.
Exactly. Maybe. Because someone mentioned in the office when we were talking about this earlier, someone mentioned a hot dog and said, is that a sandwich? And I sort of felt, no, because it's one thing that's got...
Unless it's sold at a sandwich shop, in which case... It's an honorary.
But then what if it's
but
like a
baguette?
But you
can make a sandwich by cutting a bun and then...
If it's like if it's cut through.
No, but like a baguette, you don't make two sides. Otherwise, it flops around. Like you have to...
Don't throw my argument
How did
back
you not know
face.
That?
No, I think
so embarrassing.
I think the theory is flawed, Stuart. Because some of the best sandwiches I've had in my life was when I was living in France. And it would just be a baguette sliced, not all the way. And just ridiculous amounts of butter and salami. And it was just that minimal celebration of great bread, great butter, great cured meat.
That's a real European luxury, eh? Like when you get over, you can get like a $50 sandwich here, filled with buffalo mozzarella and like prosciutto and the softest bread for like £4 in the UK or something. You know, like that's a luxury I feel like we don't have here.
Yeah, their cheese is so cheap over there. It's
not
fair.
Can't make that sandwich.
It is hard to get that beautiful, and they're everywhere as well. Like every corner boulangerie has the perfect sandwich waiting for you to get it. And here you have specialty sandwich makers who you have to go and seek out. What is it about bread? Because that to me is what defines a sandwich. And there are so many different ways to go from your Vogels. To your homemade, how do you describe your buns?
It's just a bun. People think it's brioche, but it's not.
It's too dense. And like I can eat the eggplant parm in the car and know while I'm driving that it's going to hold together. Like brioche buns by the end of it, just sort of.
That's how I spent most of lockdown was eating here in the turtle on the way back to my house in the car.
It feels like a disservice, but it's like a sort of BAP almost, right?
I don't know. Yeah, maybe.
Like, I don't know.
What is a BAP, though?
I know. Well, it's round, I guess. That was shit.
Yeah,
not a burger bun. I don't know. But it's so good.
Yeah, I guess you could call it a burger bun. I don't know. It's just, oh my God, I shouldn't be showing anyone this, but. Because we learned how to... Oh, no, you can have it. It's like... It's fine. It's such a bitch to make. You'll change your mind.
So it's a hard recipe.
Because it is hard. And I need to show you as proof how hard it was. We learned how to make bread when we opened. We didn't know how to make bread. It was so stupid. But our first buns, I was so fucking proud. And I put them on our Instagram. And they're like, fucked. So I'll just share this with you and you can laugh at me together.
So the first buns didn't go well.
Well, we were serving them for like a whole year until we learned that they were not right. But
what was it the technique or was it something have you changed?
It was so many things. Part of it was that we had a secondhand bread mixer and we didn't know that the fast wasn't fast enough to get a stretch test. But we also didn't know what a stretch test was. Okay, I feel like... This is a picture of, like, I put this on Instagram real proud. They're, like, already dead.
As in, like, audio format, Leaf, you're going to have to describe.
Okay, so I've got some buns that I proved overnight, and they've, like, risen and then collapsed again, and now I'm cutting them with a knife, and they're, like, just dead bread. And I've put it on Instagram because I'm real proud because I think they're awesome. And I leave them there to remind me.
And that's what the customers were getting on those first few months, weeks?
I'd say, like, I shouldn't be saying this. I'm really sorry, Jamie, for embarrassing us on the podcast. But maybe, like, at least 5 months we were serving kind of shit bread.
But no, that growth and development is what it's all about.
Yeah.
You know, you learn on the go so much in cafes and restaurants and bars.
Yeah.
Where's your bread come from?
We use loaf and wild wheat, which is good.
Both fantastic.
And it's convenient. I tried my hand at baking for a while. We were doing, like, these milk buns. So hard. And, like, we've got this oven which doesn't like temperature stability. So it's, like, it's quite we had some real flat bread for a while, and I was like, I'm not cut out for baking. It's not my skill.
It's interesting, eh? Baking is you have it or you don't.
I think so. And the patience side.
I guess Leif
patience,
has just learned
to... Yeah, but I reckon, like, you don't just have, you have to just keep practicing. And another thing with baking bread is that there's so many things that change what the bread's going to be like the temperature of, like, the night that you're cold proving, because the fridges kind of, like, go up in temp if it's too hot. And then, like, the temperature when you get in, you have to chuck the heater on, like, try and get them proving, the stretch test, the amount of water, like, there's so many things, and you only learn by making the most fucked buns in the world. Oh. How to, like, make better buns, and then you make good buns.
And then you make the best buns.
After a while. Thank you. So it took a while.
It sounds like a lot of work and effort to me. Outsource the bread.
Outsource the bread was an easy one.
And embrace the
creativity. Gets delivered nice and early, ready to roll. Sometimes it's really shit, though. Like, we go, shout out Wild Weed and Loaf, but up and down, eh? You can tell, actually, day by day what baker you have and what shifts they're working, because, like, and I've had this chat with Cam from Baby G as well. He was like, man, Wednesdays, or, like, if you know, are terrible. Yeah, you know, like, you're like, fuck, the focaccia is so flat, so you still have to use it.
Do you think you end up with more time for things that's the fact that you can outsource that? Because I imagine you spend a lot of time on the bread element.
Yeah, we did try and outsource it, but it's, like, too finicky what we wanted someone else to do that we couldn't get them to make what we were making. Like, you can have the same ingredients, and it just, unless they want to go through the, like, arduous process that you've laid out for them, which a lot of people don't. Like, a lot of commercial bakers have shortcuts, and then our bread takes, like, all day, essentially, to make. And they were just like, no, not for how many... sandwiches you're making, like, no way in hell. You can buy our buns.
Yeah.
Like, so.
Not enough sandwiches or too many?
Well, like, if you're a commercial baker, you know, it sounds like a lot to me to be like, like, over 150 buns. And he's like, that's, like, nothing. What are you talking about?
Zero, right?
Yeah.
Just trying to make margin on, you know, once you're putting some deep fried eggplant and some love into it, it starts to work. But for those guys, it's just...
For them, it's like, you know, we can make bread at a lower price, which means our sandwiches can be affordable. But if we're buying buns, then the price goes up by, like, $3, because you still have to, even though you didn't make it, you still have to make a profit on that bun. So it would make, I mean, we live on the cusp of Avondale, and I want everyone around us to come to us and for us to serve them. I don't want to just have other suburbs coming in to be served, you know. It's different. Like, it's not community based anymore.
Your price point's so nice, like, and it means you can get, like, two comfortably.
Yeah, thank you.
And we sort of tried to have a similar price point when we began, but it's just like not attainable. So, and probably down to buying bread and
shit.
It's
the
like
bread,
it's so expensive.
Man. Yeah, you know? But then you have to weigh out the time as well, like that you're, if you, yeah, it's a bitch.
Mm.
Community is interesting because I think you have built in both places a really interesting community around you. Has that been an important part of who the shops are and what you're trying to achieve?
Hard out. Mm. I love all the people that come in that, you know, been open for 3.5 years, almost know everyone's names. Caitlin, our like main front of house person, knows like way too much about everyone. Like,
very
that's
cool.
Good. Yeah.
And because the, you know, it's very, there's no one else really around you. It's super residential. It's in a suburb that's sort of on the edge of, you know, quite a few different demographics. It's become a real focal point for the community, which is cool.
It is quite nice to see people from different socioeconomic like backgrounds breaking, like literally breaking bread in the same place, you know? That's like quite lovely, I think.
Yeah, that is lovely.
Was that intentional really nice when you were opening up that you wanted to find a place like that that was kind of in the middle
of
houses?
We had like no money. Someone was like, do you want this spot? It's for nothing. And we were like, fuck yes. And then we sat outside for maybe 3 days, like not day and night, we went home, but we just like kind of spied on everyone and felt the vibe and it was good enough. And then we went, yeah.
And but that corner posse is like so,
it's so randomly lush,
but it's so perfect. Yeah.
I've had dreams about turning the laundromat into like a bar.
Oh, yeah.
But leaving the washing machines and stuff in there, but it's not quite
like
that.
Shake the cocktails.
Yeah. Just wash booze up in the washing machine. But similarly at Hero, it's become like a really interesting community for creatives and musicians. And
definitely, yeah. I think it's like a lot of it is like our contemporaries, I think, and most of our mates who are like, we've had so many musicians work at Hero because they're musicians and love hospo because it's easy money, cashies. And so I think it's bred like this cool community of creatives, which is nice, and like central Auckland rappers.
Well, shout out to Haz Beats.
Shout out to Haz Beats. Just
his
music. You know.
Haz's beat actually is the intro music for
I,
the podcast.
I know. We spoke about that.
And
actually,
I came in one day and was playing at Hero, which was very cool. So it's nice to have you join us finally.
Yeah, but I think we're just the central guys selling sandwiches, and who are I was. I was going to say real ones, but not real ones. I meant that wrong, but probably just like relatable bros.
Yeah.
So that's how we built this like sandwich shop, which is authentic, I think, and a place to hang.
But like that, the same question again to you. I mean, was there a reason that you felt an attachment to that location, or was it all
that
like
was like literally dirt cheap? It was actually a lounge. Our shop was a lounge with a frosted window, so we got it defrosted. And then it's still, I think it's still semi-illegal actually. It's meant to be strictly residential, but we just got like,
you're
this
getting so much trouble.
I'm sorry guys, but shut us down, baby. Please. Shut us down.
IRD, wild wheat in the
come
council.
For me, baby. I got everyone. No, but it was really cheap, super cheap actually. And that was the main thing. Like, we probably only had about 20 grand to set the whole thing up. And that's also the way that's sort of inspired how we do things. Like, we're essentially just a cabinet food coffee shop, you know? So we make everything off-site and then deliver it there, which kind of has its pitfalls. And then, we were like, that could actually be perfect. We'll just sell these really fast sandwiches and they're already pre-made, but then obviously wastage has come into it and that's crazy. And and there's something to be said for having your sandwich made fresh in front of you. It's just not the same experience, you know? So, like, even if I feel if my sandwich was really good, it's never going to compete with one that's made fresh. Even if it was my best sandwich, it's just the experience is different because it's there, it's been in the cabinet, and like cabinet food is not fresh food, I feel, in a way, in my mind.
I understand.
Yeah.
And I think that's, one of the real appeals about here in the Turtle is you're literally almost sitting in the kitchen, you know?
Mm.
Yeah.
And those boys aren't small either. Like, they take up a lot of space in there. So it's very experiential coming for a sandwich at here in the table.
Mm.
Does it feel restrictive, or you guys know how to move around in that space?
Oh, we're so used to standing right next to each other that it doesn't feel like anything. Actually, you know the knocks for how you have to stand in your own square? When we started, we got told off because we'd all end up in the same square every time because we're so used to, like, standing right next to each other. What the hell?
Yes.
But equally as well, you're in a very small space.
Oh, we're tight. It's me and Mark at the moment. Like, look at this guy. He's huge.
Mark could
his
be
big
Mark
ass. His big juicy ass. I'm like, trying to make coffee like behind him.
Like ghost.
Yeah, it is. It's hot in there at the moment. No, we got no ventilation. It's pretty hot.
The heat at the moment, I got sweat running down my back as we speak.
Mm.
Is that fucking with your baking? Like,
is it fucking with the baking. It is. But we have to leave the aircon on all night to, like, keep the fridges from going too high. But it's okay. It's just, we've had a few summers now. It's just how it goes.
I don't know. Maybe it's because I've got little boys and I'm worried about, you know, for the first summer, and I'm worried about how hot they are. But I feel like it's extra
hot.
It's
so hot and muggy. The, like, humidity ain't right.
You can't hide from it. That's the problem.
No.
Like, if you go into shade and even have a fan on you, it still doesn't
help.
It
just lives on you.
I love how it gets to about this time each year and we all forget that it was like this last year. And
that's
we just
like
have an
that's,
exact
that's
conversation.
Anything.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, oh my God, we're so shocked about the weather change. Can you believe how cold it was? I'm like, this is the worst coffee chat ever. But we all do it. Yeah. Like, you know?
I guess because the weather affects everything.
Yeah, yeah.
The whole vibe and...
So shocking, though, every year.
Short memories.
Kia ora, lovely podcast listeners. Jane here with a friendly reminder that Christmas is right around the corner and, you know, presents and all that. The good news is we've got all, or at least some, of your gift-giving needs covered at the Spin-Off Shop. From tea towels to t-shirts, tote bags to Toby Morris prints or a copy of the Spin-Off book, our range of merch will look great under a tree or in a stocking or at a secret Santa exchange. In any kind of gift-giving situation, they'll look good. Is what I'm trying to get at. But don't take my word for it. Go and see for yourself. Head to members.thespinoff.co.nz/shop and just try to resist. Actually, don't try to resist. Just buy some stuff today, if possible. Thank you. Bye.
Ki te kahore he whakakitinga ka ngaro te iwi. Without foresight or vision, the people will be lost. Kia ora koutou, I'm Stacey Morrison. Join me for Conversations That Count, Ngā Kōrero Whai Take, a new series brought to you by Massey University and The Spin-Off. I'll be chatting to academics, activists and industry leaders to turn a unique lens on the issues impacting Aotearoa and Te Ao Whānui. From structural equality to liberalising drug policy, implications for our mokopuna and more, we'll bring you thought-provoking kōrero about the things that count for all of us. New episodes will be available each month, so subscribe today wherever you get your podcasts.
So what is your favourite sandwich culture? My favourite, and I deeply miss them, was the shawarmas at the Middle East Cafe. It's not a sandwich in Stuart's eyes, but I'm going to claim it. I love food from the Levant. You know, the cumin, the fatty lamb wrapped up in that beautiful bread. That is my favourite place to get a sandwich. I think my best sandwich I've ever had was on the streets of Jerusalem. Absolutely delicious shawarma.
Oh.
Mm. But then even things like... porchetta sandwiches in Italy, like just trying to find the best, always hunting the best sandwich. That's what I find myself doing, no matter where I am in the world.
Mm. Where would you get a good, like, shawarma in Auckland? Is there one?
So I think the Fatima's
Oh, yeah.
shawarma are really good. It's like, it's not hyper authentic.
But it's
delicious.
Yum.
Mm.
In Kingsland, Petra shawarma.
Yeah.
That's not in really thick bun bread. That's in like a thin wrap, which is also just beautiful. And that's closer to, well, that is Jordanian, very authentic Jordanian food, and is delicious. So those are my two favorite Middle Eastern shawarma spots in Auckland.
Nice.
Can I just ask a quick question?
Yes.
With the authentic and then modern take on things, tacos is a big one, I find. Does anyone have a preference? Because, like, I feel like I love the authentic, and I love them because they are authentic. But, like, I feel like they need more. I may be wrong.
I think there's heaps of value in both, and as long as you're not trying to sell yourself as anything other than...
Yep.
That which you are. Right. I think they can both coexist.
Exist. Yeah, good.
I'm a staunch believer in Taco Bell.
Oh,
so.
My God, me too. I really wanted to say, I just love Taco Bell
it's
so
good.
Much.
It's on Uber Eats as well.
Yeah, it's dangerous,
every
but
day.
It's good.
I've never had Taco Bell.
It is honestly great.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
But no, I think you know, on all types of cuisine, there's value in in both, and you learn so much about a culture from their food, and that's the place you can explore, I think, with you know, really authentic visions into a cuisine. But if it's like Japanese fusion and it tastes really good, I want to, and it's cooked by a white guy, I want to eat that as well. You know, what inspires you, and if that's what you do and you do it well, I'm comfortable with it.
Hard out. You're not putting the person in your mouth, you know?
Good.
If you could get a sandwich from anywhere in the world right now, though, where would it be?
Okay. If I could have a sandwich, it doesn't, like, maybe exist anymore, but does anyone remember the Anthony Bourdain part where he goes and gets a mortadella, which is what the bologna is, the mortadella sandwich from I don't know where the fuck he is, and he's like... I want to try that because I see it in his book, I've seen it on the video, and that's what the bologna is, but I've never actually eaten his one, and that's what I would eat.
And that's my favorite part of Italy for food as well, is Emilia Romagna, where mortadella is from. It's I think it's from Modena, which is north of Bologna.
Yeah.
They have a traditional rivalry, and they use the... mortadella sausage is part of the filling of, I can never get it right, the mini, is it tortellini? Is that the small one?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's, you'll have so much fun in that part of the world. It's my favorite place in Italy.
I want to go to Europe one day.
Remember when we could travel places?
Now it's like going on holiday. I go to New Windsor and get an eggplant palm.
Yeah.
Stuart, what sandwich would you get if you could have a sandwich from anywhere in the world?
I am kind of just a believer in a good old French croque monsieur, croque madame, something like that. I had a great time in France a few years ago, and I very much would like to go back. It's not overly original, but, you know.
I love the idea of external cheese, though. Like having cheese under a grill on the outside of your sandwich.
Yeah, exactly.
Is
genius.
Is such genius.
Yeah. I knew you were coming. Honestly, I'm struggling over here to figure out where I'd go.
A sandwich I've always wanted to have and have never had is a Philly cheesesteak.
I want a
real greasy, maybe like 3 a.m.
Yeah.
Like, the cheese looks like it's almost out of a can, but it's not.
Yeah.
I reckon it'll be so good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've had one, but not in Philadelphia, but it was just as kind of grotty as you'd want it to be, and it was amazing.
Where was it?
I honestly cannot remember.
In the US, though?
Yeah, but I just know that I had one, because that was one of the things I wanted to do.
So I'd want mine to be in, I've always wanted to go to Philadelphia as well. And seeing as Philadelphia just... deposed Donald Trump, we're feeling a real affinity for that
scene. And a great sitcom.
Mm.
What's the sitcom?
It's Always Sunny in
Philadelphia.
I've never... No, I've never seen it. I know the... I wouldn't even know if...
I got a walking tour of Philadelphia with my Philly cheesesteak.
See, I think of Will Smith and The Roots, yeah. But not It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
If you follow the Instagram in Always Sunny, it's quite a nice like bridging gap into the series. If you
is it a sarcastic title? Because Philly doesn't. Philly sounds it like it's
sarcastic.
Quite.
Like the darkest humor. Like,
gross.
Mm. Yeah.
You're allowed to stay in New Zealand if you want, but I've got to
take it.
You can't just avoid it.
I might actually go. Yeah, back to. I had this sandwich, the one I was describing before, at Borough Market in London, which was just like filled with mozzarella and prosciutto, and it was just on fresh focaccia, and there was nothing. Oh, basil actually in there as well, but it was just like stacked, like it was thick with mozzarella and prosciutto,
yeah.
And it was £4, and I was like, this is the best
that
thing I've ever eaten.
Sandwich.
That is the sandwich I think about a lot. Yeah,
sandwiches take you places. I remember so many places I've been with my sandwiches. Amazing Vietnamese in Melbourne, and their banh mi is so good.
Yeah.
How did the hero invasion of Melbourne go?
It went, pretty good actually.
Were you just looking to do something else, or
my mate lived in Melbourne and he was looking to spend money, in a way. And he was like, "Bro, let's open a hero here." And we were like, "Genius." And then a mate of ours actually had a panel beaters there, and he had an espresso shop that had set up in one of his garages, which had flopped. So he was like, come over, you can have it for $100 a week. So it was like, we'd be absolute losers if we couldn't make some money out of it.
Oh, that's so cool.
But it was good. Like, it was good. We got like top 5 sandwich in Melbourne in one like article, which was super dope. I was like, oh shit, we can't go to Melbourne. But yeah, it was good. But our lease was only for 14 months. And then it expired, and we hadn't saved any money. And he was like, fuck, no, let's not do that. So we kind of abandoned it in a way. But it was cool.
Did you all just go over for 14 months? And like?
No, so my mate Jackson was living in Melbourne.
Oh.
So he ran it. I just went over to help him set it up.
Oh.
And then, so I spent quite a lot of time in Melbourne, actually. So I've got a lot of favorite, really good sandwich shops there that I love. The banh mi was like a Hector's as well, which is really good over there. It's probably one of my favorite sandwich shops in the world, I'd say.
And Leif, one thing I wanted to ask you about was Matt was telling me about the catering of the Campolo Hummus.
Oh my god, yeah.
How can you tell us those stories? What did food at a festival? How do you do that?
I have always been on the hustle because like I grew up not that like wealthy, so you always have to have a job. And then I wanted to start my own catering company when I was like 19 or 20. I had my savings from whatever I'd been doing, and I made, like, I was working at Nosh at the time, so I'd buy like fancy cheese and then bring it to this like broke ass music festival, and I'd sell $3 toasties just in the sandwich press. It was sweet corn and Havarti.
Yes.
I had baked beans and like an aged gouda. No one cared like that the cheese was fancy. And then I had like a triple cheese, and I made no money. Like, I lost money because everyone was so broke that they'd be like, can I just have one? And I'd be like, yeah, totally. That's fine. But yeah, it was fun though.
But I love that it was still sandwiches. Like,
yeah, sandwiches.
Nothing you want more at 10 in the morning in the bush at a festival than a sandwich. Mm. Baked bean and the gouda stands out to me.
Aged they gouda. Didn't even know that they were eating.
But they
such
did
nice
when they put it in their mouth. Like,
true, maybe.
They might know. They might never have heard of gouda, but then when they ate it,
had the experience.
They're like, wow, this gouda's aged.
Is that like 16 months old? Divine.
Oh, good cheese though. I love that the scene when Samin Nusrat cries over the parmesan in a,
oh my god, it's so sad.
In the salt, fat, acid, heat series. I think I got those in the right order. Eating parmigiano that just has so much umami it makes you cry.
Oh wait, I'm thinking of something else. Sorry. Have you know the chef's table maybe? And then the guy, there's an earthquake and all the Parmesan falls over.
No.
And it's this guy's like aging all of the protected recipe Okay, that was what I cried over. It was so sad.
No, Samin just cried from joy.
Oh, yeah.
So that's genuinely sad.
Wow.
But that was really, really fun, and I love sandwiches so much. If you were to make a sandwich for your partner's parents, they'll come over for dinner. This is the sign-off question. What would you make them? If I was making a sandwich, I'd make them the eggplant parm because I think it's both, like, it has this equal part sophistication and greasiness to it. Like, it is
greasy.
It's dirty and refined.
Yeah, it's so it's so good, but so naughty.
Mm.
But maybe I'd also make them an egg sandwich with the white bread that you use. That's so thick.
Egg salad, eh?
I feel like thick white bread doesn't get the love that it deserves.
Bro, fuck, it grates me, absolutely.
Gardies in Dunedin, RIP, they used to do amazing toasties on like 4 centimeter thick white bread. It was so good.
What would you make?
It's a sandwich for dinner, or are they just popping around?
Just popping around, you're surprising them with a...
Man. I might go, like, I feel like they're like, quite, quote-unquote, sophisticated eaters. Love them. I'd probably do, like, I'd go for, like, a fish. Maybe, like, something, you know? Like, fish is, like, feels like it does
fancy.
More, you know? Like, maybe, like, a smoked fish or, like, a tuna... tangier flavors as opposed to rich, so they don't feel too sick after they leave, you know, they're still a bit light, so they're like, ah, lovely sandwich, that was a pleasant experience.
I want that one.
Yeah,
and I agree, there's something fancy about a smoked fish rillettes or something. You could even add a French word in there. I also really appreciate how you managed to not burn your partner's parents at the very end. The one group that you kept in the good books. Yeah. Stuart?
Oh, God. Well, the reason I eat out a lot is because my partner is the one that can cook and not me. But if they were popping around, I'd probably just make a good old-fashioned cheese toastie, shit loads of aged gouda, get some red onion, and then have a nice bit of ketchup on the side.
Magic trick I learned for making a cheese toastie is if you're, rather than in the machine, or even work in the machine, instead of butter on the outside, put mayonnaise.
Whoa.
And it's like this rare, you know, because it melts and it's all olive oil and... It creates this really dark, delicious, rich crisp on the bread. It sounds great. It's genius.
I'll try that next time they pop round. And I'm in charge of the sandwich.
How are you gently mocking my question?
I'm like stressing out, eh? I don't know what I'd do.
Can't let them go hungry.
I know. Well, Daryl loves jam, so I feel like I'd just get him, like, jam and bread. I know that sounds fucked, but, like, he really loves jam. Like, I make him jam, so I'd just, like, oh, the house made jam.
And then... That's something we don't really touch on is the power of the sandwich to go sweet as well.
Yeah.
Peanut butter and jam sandwich. Like, oh, my God, I love it.
And then Pam doesn't really eat bread. So I'd make her, like, a real salad-y one, but with a bit of chicken, and then, like, be like, open sandwich, so you only have one piece. And that's, I'd do that.
How do you feel about the concept of the bunnus?
I actually like a bunnus, but I feel real guilty every time I've ordered it, because the people are like, you piece of shit. Like, no, I don't want to put that in some lettuce. But it's real good.
Yeah. I think it works. Like, after all our chat about the joys of bread, I think the bunnus as a sandwich vehicle is... The lettuce as a sandwich vehicle
Is it a sandwich, though, or is it a salad?
Whatever it is, it's definitely not a fucking sandwich.
I think the fun
we're gonna make a ruling.
Ah, so that's the line.
A sandwich has to have some sort of bread.
So yes. What happens if you're the absolute heathen that goes to McDonald's and chooses to replace the bun with lettuce? Is that a burger? Because you can do that at McDonald's, but if you're an absolute monster.
It's not a burger. It's not.
I find with the bunnas, like, they often, like, give you, like, 5 layers of lettuce. So it's too watery, and then you lose a lot of the flavor. Mm. Sauces are gone. It's dripping out the bottom. I don't like it, if I'm honest.
See, I don't
try
order...
the Thunderbird from Burger Fuel, but in the lettuce.
I love the Thunderbird.
So
that's my burger. But
with the bread, like a normal person.
Well, it's really great to have you both on. Huge fans of what you do. Everyone go and eat at Hera Sandwiches and Hera in the Turtle, Eggplant Palm. And what is the thick-ass chicken?
The gochujang chicken, yeah.
The gochujang chicken is my absolute hero at Hera. And we appreciate both your time. I hope you've gone okay this year. It's been really tough. But you're both still here, and we're proud of you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you too, Stuart.
Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure.
That was fun. Yeah.
Ka kite.
Ka kite.
Hello for Lover, I'm Madeline Chapman, editor at The Spinoff. If you have the means, consider supporting our high-quality journalism by becoming a Spinoff member. Sign up now at thespinoff.co.nz/donate.
Kia ora e te iwi, Te Ahe Butler here, podcast manager at The Spinoff. If you enjoy listening to our podcasts, consider supporting our mahi by signing up to become a Spinoff member at thespinoff.co.nz/donate.
The Spinoff Podcast Network.